This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther into the prophet Zephaniah with The Great Day, Seek the Lord, Oracles Against the Nations, More Judgment, and Conversion of the Nations. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from 1 John chapter 2. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have no knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, it's October, isn't it? Kind of feel it in the air. It's a new season, and one I think a lot of us anticipate. But I think for our Lutheran pastors, the beginning of October is also a time when they begin to think about preparing a sermon for Reformation Sunday. Looking back into the small call articles and the treatise and finding out all the stuff you can say about a 16th century papacy as being the Antichrist. In other words, kind of an historic polemic against something that was there in the 16th century. But then we begin to raise the question, well, what about this more winsome papacy that we have today? The bottom line is nothing has changed. Rome still condemns the central doctrine of our faith, and that is our justification by Christ, by grace, through faith. So the more things stay the same, or more things change, the more they say stay the same. Our text this morning is not 2 Thessalonians, our text this morning is 1 John. And John speaks of many antichrists. And he actually tells us where to find them. He says this, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Now, if you think about over the centuries, many figures have been identified as the Antichrist by different people. In the last century, for example, people like Hitler were so identified, Stalin, Osama bin Laden, and interestingly, Henry Kissinger, if you know who he was. All of this would be called the Antichrist, but everyone that does it has missed the point. The Antichrist comes from the church, not from outside the church. Jesus said that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. The Antichrist spirit is in the church, but not of the church, and comes from the church into the world. So to begin to look for this and sense what's going on, that's where you begin. Now, if these antichrists are found from those who come out of the church, how are we supposed to recognize them? Well, this is a really important point that John makes. Who is a liar but he who denies that Christ, Jesus, is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Who is Jesus Christ? That's a question that must be answered. And that's a question that the Antichrist will try to direct you to the wrong answer. The many who have gone out from the church over the centuries have inevitably developed a Christology that does not reflect that of Holy Scripture. It is always, simply put, a lie. A denial of justification, you see, is also a denial of who Jesus is. It makes Christ quite different. Is Jesus really the Christ if we are not saved by grace through faith? not only those radical religions that came out of the church, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, others, but we must also look at those who still remain, we believe, in the church. John writes, "Children, it's the last hour. As you've heard that Antichrist is coming, how so now many Antichrists have come? Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." Antichrist is coming. John says, many have come. They were present in his day. They are present in ours. Those many Antichrists have not ceased to exist. In fact, I think one of the things that is kind of the motto of an Antichrist is the serpent in the garden when he said, "Did God really say?" And to fall for that lie. And those lies of Satan are so subtle. So how does God protect you and me? John says, "I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." One of the great deceptions of our age is this notion that everybody can have their own truth. He has his truth, she has her truth, I have my truth, they have their truth. There are not many truths. There's always just one. But people want to have their own. And that one truth always is not a what, it is a who. That one truth is Jesus the Christ. That is the truth. He is the truth to whom all the prophets pointed, to whom all the evangelists wrote, all the apostles pointed. Every pastor that has stood in a pulpit to proclaim Jesus Christ over all these centuries have pointed us always to the truth that is Jesus. And the unwavering confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is why every Lutheran pastor, by the way, and also our deaconess students here, you study Scripture and you study the Lutheran confessions, don't you? So that you can know the truth and speak the truth. So where is that darkness of the Antichrist? It's all around us. It's around us in the false religions that have come out of the church. It's present wherever is preached a watered-down, culturally acceptable gospel that diminishes the necessity of the death and resurrection of Jesus. This is the politically acceptable Christ. It is also the goal of Antichrist, that we give up any struggle to live in that truth and surrender, because then he wins. But we need to look beyond our own struggle, our own internal questions, and look to Christ. It's not easy. It's been said that in the heart of every Lutheran pastor is a little pope screaming to get out. I think to some extent that's true. But we have the confessions. We have the Scripture. And we know the Antichrist is already doomed to destruction. It's already happened. There is one truth. And that one truth defeats the lies of Antichrist, of Satan. And again, that truth is Jesus Christ. You see, the devil and his minions were completely defeated 2,000 years ago when this Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, died on a cross, destroying by his blood the power of sin, descending into hell to proclaim his victory and rising again on Easter morning. It's a victory that is even now made real to us through the word that's proclaimed, the word you will preach the rest of your life, that Jesus is the Christ, the words you will use, your sins are forgiven. It's because of the truth that is Jesus the Christ, and that truth is yours also. It's not just something you preach from a pulpit. It shapes your heart and your life. And it's that victory that comes to us from Jesus the Christ through those means of grace that he's given to us, humble and easy to access, things we can feel and touch and hear. We can even smell. There he is, in the water, in the word, in the bread and wine, saying to you and me, his people, your sins are forgiven. No matter what the world around you wants to think, no matter what Satan wants you to think, your sins are gone because Jesus Christ has said they're gone. John writes, let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. My brothers and sisters, I hope and pray you always remember the most fundamental part of your life, the simplest of the gospel, that Christ came and died for your sins, that he rose from the dead. And as we engage in theology, often asking questions, answering questions that nobody's asking, as we continue to do that, we need always to come back to who we are. And it's that simple gospel that can be believed by a child. That childlike faith. Oh, these other things are important. They do matter. I've spent my life doing this. But they don't matter compared to that one truth. The truth that stands forever. The day is coming when all those who are in Christ Jesus, both the living and the dead, in that great resurrection, be brought before the throne of our Christ. That's the day when every satanic lie that floats around this planet Earth will be silenced and vanquished. We will stand before God, clothed in not our robes of righteousness, but in his robes of righteousness. Those robes he gave to you when you first heard that simple truth and first, through his gift of faith, grabbed hold of it. That still is true. We'll fall before him. That's a day when the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus will be shown to the entire universe. And most of all, we'll see it with our own eyes. That's the day when the church will hear the answer to her prayer. The prayer that has been prayed by Christians through all the centuries. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. My mouth is filled with your praise. Every day I will bless you. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, grant your blessing to those who dwell in loneliness, that they may find a place of solace and pleasant fellowship among people faithful to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.